Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as finfanatic.com. And we're also the official provider here as well for the Fan Sided Network for Miami Dolphins content. So be sure to join us there. And we look forward to spending the next 4 weeks with you, because 4 weeks from tonight is going to be night one of the NFL draft. We can hardly wait. And we're going to kick this off here. Well, not kick it off, but continue this by having our dueling top 18 boards. And now 18 is not exactly a round number, but the Dolphins are picking 6th and 18th. So it guarantees that at least two players on our board, we're going to be happy with taking at those spots, some happier than others. But, so that's where we're at here at this point, Paul. Let's go ahead and jump right into it here. Anything you wanna start with before we dive in?
No, I mean, the fact that I think both excluded the quarterbacks from our top 18 big board is a big thing. So you're gonna see some folks in here slide up a little bit that maybe not the most apparent value at 18 in some ways, but taking quarterback out of the equation, because yeah, we talked about Trevor Lawrence and the fact that he's just not going to be there at 6. Like, and I went back and forth with it on it anyway, because of the fact that yes, do I think Trevor Lawrence is probably a big upgrade over Tua? Absolutely. But again, is he that much better at a position where you're basically blowing last year's number one pick out of the water as far as your roster goes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah. And that's the point, is we don't want this top 18 board to have quarterbacks muddying the waters here, to be quite honest with you, because Trevor Lawrence is going number one. It's a million to one odds at this point that he doesn't go number one. I mean, he will. And then after that, we're in agreement that we don't see a talent special enough to even start the conversation there. But we will have our quarterback segment here this Saturday. But that's more for taking a look at the position in general and seeing maybe is there somebody in the later rounds the Dolphins could consider as a developmental quarterback. So, Paul, let's go ahead and get started with our boards here. And I'm gonna kick it to you first. Let's start at the bottom. We're gonna work our way to the top, unless you have a preference for something else.
No, I love having Boogie time right off the rip. I mean, come on now.
I figured it'd be higher for you, so you're gonna go with Boogie at 18, huh?
I went with Boogie at 18, and you know, it's he actually just missed the list until right before the show, and then I just couldn't in good conscience not throw Boogie on the list. And I'll give you a sneak preview. Richie Grant didn't make my list for top 18, even though I'm tremendously high on him, and he had a pretty good pro day today. But yeah, Boogie, I think he is basically the better heir apparent to Ogba down the road, but also is a guy that, you know, the way he sets the edge, the way he plays the read option, which is the future of the NFL, I have not seen anyone do before. He had a huge pro day this week, and Miami has needs at edge anyhow. So he just ticks those boxes. It's what I would he be tremendous value at 18? Not according to people's, you know, top 50 boards out there, but as far as the long-term value for the Dolphins, absolutely. He is going to make you forget that he was a late first-round projection and went at 18, and it's going to be a steal at that point.
Yeah, he's somebody I'm high on, too. Didn't quite make my list. I don't have many edge guys. I've got two, in full disclosure, but I've got a I do have an edge guy at 18, and that's somebody that's fallen way down my list. That's Gregory Rousseau from Miami. And, you know, I've always defended him a lot because, you know, I think people are typecasting him as something that he's not. What bothered me a little bit in his game, the more tape I've watched on him, is I don't think he can bend the edge very well. He doesn't win a lot out there. You know, he's fast for his size, but he's not freakishly fast. You know, he runs a 4.7 this past week here at the Miami Pro Day, runs a 7.5 three-cone drill, and that measures bendiness around the edge. And when you run a 7.5, that's not good. I think the further he moves inside, the better pass rusher he is. But when he actually gets to the NFL, is he going to be somebody who wins on the inside too? Maybe, maybe not. I think he'll have a lot of opportunities to succeed. And Brian Flores and Josh Boer have done well with a player like him who has a lot of versatility. So he comes in at 18 for me. At number 17, somebody that is not – it's not a neat spot either, but I love the talent level of this kid. Christian Barmore, the defensive tackle from Alabama. Now, I know the Dolphins are stockpiling defensive tackles here, and they re-signed – well, not re-signed, but they got John Jenkins back from the 2019 season, played for the Bears last year. They got him back in the fold. I think Barmore is going to be – would be more of a defensive end in a three-man alignment. And you're talking about somebody who had 6'4 and a half, 310 pounds. He has almost – 35-inch arms, which is freakish for a defensive tackle. And you want to watch the last few games of the year, specifically like against Notre Dame, he was able to push the pocket from the inside, create a lot of pass rush. That's what this type of defense is looking for instead of kind of the around-the-edge type of guy. Paul, who'd you go with there at 17?
At 17, I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but you said a lot of the reasons why he slid a little bit for me as well. In Gregory Rousseau, I have more than one edge player on my list. My first two so far, as we count down from 18 to 17, have been edge players. A little bit different style edge players. I do think Boogie's going to have the eventual long term. But again, it's Miami's got so many fat guys up front now that it's going to be harder to get one of the bigger guys out there than it is to get somebody that you may be able to put in a stand-up like Rousseau, even though he's a little bit slow.
Got it. Back to you there with 16.
At 16, as much as I've preached the long-term patience with the offensive line, I do have a few offensive linemen on my list here, and I struggled with where to put this guy on my list. I had him a little higher for a little bit. I moved him down. I moved him back up, took him off, put him back on. And that's Elijah Vera Tucker. He has a lot of scheme and position versatility along the offensive line. So he would allow you to go after a Creed Humphrey later on, possibly. Go after, an offensive tackle maybe and look to kick him to the inside. If you want to put him on the outside and move Hunt to the inside, wherever he fits best. I know he's got a little bit of a short arm issue. No secret to anybody that's been paying attention to him throughout the process. But he just gets the job done. And that's what I want to see in an offensive line. So, yeah, I would prefer to wait till a later round, but I couldn't, in good conscience, leave some of these offensive linemen off the list just based on how they play.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've got a couple as well. Vera Tucker, yeah, when he came in with the short arms and more of that, like, I wouldn't see him playing left tackle. And then we're talking about an heir apparent to Ereck Flowers. But he's a good player. He really is. And a value possibility, yeah, absolutely. And if not for the Dolphins and for somebody. At 16, I went with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, linebacker from Notre Dame. And this is somebody that I've gone way back and forth on here over the last several weeks, the more and more I've watched, because he is undersized. He came in at 6'1", 221. He can fly. I mean, he didn't run his 40, but man, he plays like he runs a 4.3. He also plays small too. So the big question with Owusu-Koramoah, who a lot of people have actually compared to Jamal Adams, is can he play in the slot and hold up? And if that's the case, then I think that you can actually change the way you play defense, because you could have three linebackers on the field a lot in Baker, McKinney, and Owusu-Koramoah. I think he'll either be high on the Dolphins board or he'll be off the board completely. If I had to guess, he'd probably be off the board completely, but I think they could make it work. I'm a big fan of this guy. Number 15, running back Javonte Williams from North Carolina. Again, not a overly impressive pro day there. Not many running backs who run a 4.6 and are 212 pounds become superstars, but you also can't ignore the broken tackles this past year at North Carolina. And he gets upfield quickly. He has a lot of burst. And a big thing too, that's, I think, a little bit unsaid about his game and who he is unlike some of the other running backs in the draft, where and Najee Harris have, Javonte Williams has only 416. So he comes in with fresher legs too. I think either way, the Dolphins have to come out of this draft with one of the top three running backs.
Yeah, I think they do potentially, but I was just answering a question in chat about the running back position in relation to Najee. It's for one, I like Javonte the most out of all of them. I will say that right off.
Okay.
I do like Najee, but I think it's gotten to that point of a little bit over media hyped with him. And yeah, I do think Najee goes before Javonte. But I like Javonte particularly for the Dolphins offense more. And this is not jumping into my list here with this, but I would not be shocked with Greer and Flores if they've fallen absolutely head over heels for maybe Javonte, but also for possibly somebody outside of the top three. I won't jump all over who right now. I know we're going to talk about a lot of the guys in our running back segment, and I think we're probably going to take a deep cut on the running back segment this year because of the fact that as much as we want a top three running back, I'm not sold that Greer and Flores are going to be all over the top three running backs. I could very well see them looking at ways to spread the field, which make guys like Myles Gaskin and some of the other running backs in this draft a hell of a lot better as you get down to it. So with that in mind, with stretching the field, I went ahead and I took a 4.39 wide receiver here in Rashad Bateman. I know not everybody has him as a first-round talent, but he absolutely blew away his pro day. He can do so many of the things. I know we've talked a lot about him leading up, and I do think they need somebody, especially with Will Fuller under that one-year contract as we go down the road here, and I think Bateman's one of the guys that they may consider here at 18.
Got it. Back to you for 14.
Oh, gee, for 14? Well, you can't talk about Bateman and his speed without talking about Rondale Moore out of Purdue. Again, not a guy I'm going to beat a dead horse on because we've talked about him a lot as we've gone along here. And we need at least one receiving threat in this draft, period, if not two.
Yeah, and I think you're starting to see kind of the first seven or eight guys separate among those wide receivers. I mean, Rashad Bateman, yeah, ran somewhere in the 4.39, you know, if you were to give him – shave a few off because it was, you know, working out at Minnesota and say ran in the 4.4s, that's fine. But he was certainly fast enough. He can separate. He's got good hands. Didn't come in as big as a lot of people thought. You know, I not 6'2", 210, more kind of 6 foot, 6'1", 190 pounds. We'll get to him a little bit more later, but very good route runner. I think he would really add something here to this receiving unit here. So, yeah, Paul's going on a run here with the wide receivers. At 14, for me, I'm taking my number one edge guy, and I've fought with myself on this, but I've just got to go ahead and jump in with it. And that's Jalen Phillips from Miami. And you know, talk about somebody who blew his workouts away. 6'5", 260, 4.55 speed. In his last four games of Miami, had 11 tackles for loss and 6.5 sacks. To me, this is talent-wise, just talent-wise, the best edge player in this draft. And to me, there's not even a close second. I've got a lot of problems with a lot of these players. But as everybody knows, this is somebody who went to UCLA in 2017 as the number one overall high school recruit in the nation. 2 years later, he medically retired from football because of those concussion issues. He swears it's all behind him. He's dedicated. But that's the risk that you got to take with him. But with these all these picks Miami has, if he got down to 18, maybe he wouldn't be the top player on my board, but he would be hard to overlook given the need for the Dolphins at edge and given his talent level. At 13, I went with another defensive player, and this is somebody really rising on boards, and that's Jamin Davis from Kentucky, who I've really spent the last 2 days digging deep on, watching games there in the SEC. He played against Florida and it really jumped out at me, covering Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts had a huge game against Florida. Not a lot came against Jamin Davis, though. This is somebody who flies all over the field. And when you look at the linebacker position, to me, the two most important traits are speed and length. And he has them both big time. 6'3", 234, ran a 4.41, 42-inch vertical leap, insane measurables, and he's only 20 years old, comes from a military family. I think this is a player that we could look back on here in a couple of years and say, how the hell did this guy fall to pick 16 or 17 in the draft when he turned out to be one of the best players in the draft? There's a lot to work on. He doesn't exactly react right now as fast as you want, but he's also 20 years old. He's still learning those things. But you've got to look at the marked improvement with him from 2019 to 2020. So Jamin Davis comes out on my list here, Paul, at 13.
Yeah, at 13 for me, I went ahead with somebody you just mentioned and Jalen Phillips. It's the concussion issues do worry me, but he's past Gregory Rousseau for me as well. I know Rousseau is supposed to be the top pass rusher and is out there on some of the boards, but it's everywhere other than medically. I feel like Jalen has the edge, especially for Miami's scheme fit. Up ahead of that, I went with a linebacker as well, and that's Zaven Collins out of Tulsa. Eric, I couldn't answer you because I already had him on my list and I didn't want to say it. You know how I feel about the linebacking core. I think it's one piece away, especially after parting ways with Shaq Lawson and parting ways with Captain Disgruntled up there in New England again.
Van Noy.
Yeah, Kyle Van Noy. And Zaven Collins can definitely come in and fill a role, can be that guy to come in and just plug up in front of him. And he's got a lot more speed than people expect. So I went Zaven Collins here. I know we're going to talk about him to death, especially since I know a lot of people want to hear more about him when we get to that.
Well, I'm going to break a lot of hearts here then with Zaven Collins, because I like him as a prospect. I really do. I dropped him considerably on my Dolphins board when the Dolphins signed Bernardrick McKinney, very simply because I wonder if there's room in this defense for Jerome Baker, Bernardrick McKinney, and Zaven Collins. I mean, are you really going to have two linebackers who are 6'4", 260 on the field at the same time? I don't know, but if Zaven Collins, if they feel he can set a good edge, get creative with him, he can blitz well, maybe that does become a possibility. Go ahead.
Yeah, here's what I'd say to that, though. It's with Zaven Collins, I'm not opposed to kicking Jerome Baker to the outside and giving him a little bit of time to grow out there, so long as he's willing to do so in a contract year. I mean, you're going to have to make that commitment to him being a contract year to get him to switch that position. But end of the day, I think if anybody could find a usage for Bernardrick McKinney and Zaven Collins in the same defense, the creative things we've seen from Flores and Boyer thus far, I have no doubt they can find the roles for both of those guys in this defense.
They would have to use three linebackers a lot to do that. And it's if they look at Collins and say, hey, we think this guy's going to be a superstar. McKinney's not going to be around for more than a couple of years. Baker gives you the flexibility to let him walk and get a comp pick for him and not spend $11 or $12 million on him, then that's a possibility. I hope they do bring Baker back long term, though. Going along here, where are we now? We're on pick. For me, I'm at number 12 on my board, and this is where Najee Harris comes off here. And, you know, as we've gone along more and more, I start to think that given that they signed Will Fuller to pair with Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki, now you've got those three guys at the top. We fully expect, or at least I think we're in agreement on that the first pick is probably going to be a pass catcher. So there's your fourth guy. Now at pick 18, if you get Najee Harris, who a player I compare really to Edgerrin James here 20 years ago, who are you going to cover? Who are you going to go one-on-one against here with these matchups? And I think that's the spot Tua needs to be in, to be that car dealer, to just quickly identify the one-on-one matchups. And Najee Harris is somebody that would require a 10, both running the football as well as in the passing game. So he comes in at number 12 for me. Number 11, and this may raise some eyebrows, but one of my favorite players in the draft, Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State. And Tevin Jenkins is somebody that is a mean, nasty offensive tackle on the right side. I fell in love with his tape, especially watching him go up against the likes of Joseph Asai and just dominating him. He's somebody that very rarely gets knocked off balance. And it's really cliche to take a player like this and compare him to like Zach Martin or Marshall Yanda, but I see it. The functional strength, the nastiness, the balance, this guy doesn't get moved back. I think if you put him at right guard, you're going to get a 5 or 6 time Pro Bowler. And I put him one step above Najee Harris because I would rather have a guard like that than somebody, or I'd rather have a guard like that creating holes for a running back than the running back itself. So that's where he comes in, and they're at number 11 for me.
Yeah, and before we piss anybody off further than I'm probably going to do once all said and done with my list, guys, make sure you click like, make sure you guys subscribe. We really, really, really appreciate all the support we've gotten from you guys lately. And if you get a chance, please go out and leave a review on our podcast, wherever you happen to listen to that. And on top of that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to recap mine, and if you want to recap yours as well, Kat, just to catch people up. At 18, I had Boogie Basham, the defensive end out of Wake Forest. 17, Gregory Rousseau, the edge out of Miami. At 16, Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive lineman, can play him a guard, can play him a tackle. He's got a lot of flexibility, and he can start at any of those positions. After that, back-to-back wide receivers, Rashad Bateman at 15, Rondale Moore at 14. At 13, I had Jalen Phillips, the other edge from Miami. And at 12, I had Zaven Collins, the linebacker from Tulsa.
Got it. So you're on the board here with 11 and 10.
So I went back-to-back at a few positions, but actually, shoot, I can't do my back-to-back here. Damn it. God, I'm going to give it away a little bit. I went with Azeez Ojulari, the linebacker edge out of Georgia. He had one heck of a pro day. He is well-built. He threw up 225 28 times, but he still ran a 4.6. And Miami needs an edge guy. They need an edge guy in this draft, preferably somebody fairly early. I know all of our listeners know that my guy's Boogie Basham, but in good conscience, I couldn't put him ahead of Azeez Ojulari. And really, while I think Boogie is the more complete end, Ojulari is a little bit better pass rusher and can drop into coverage a little bit better. So it depends on the flavor that the Dolphins want to go with here. And then I went with an offensive tackle, Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech. While I think Miami's biggest need on the offensive line is at the center position, I do think that they could possibly upgrade that left guard spot currently occupied by Ereck Flowers, who I do like. And the way to do that might be getting that offensive tackle, like we've talked about, kick Robert Hunt back inside and have Hunt and Kinley at the guard spots. And then you grab that center in late round two, early round three, or possibly even one of the guys that's going to be out there in round four and still an upgrade over Skura.
And number 10, and, you know, this is the first time a wide receiver actually makes an appearance on my board, and it's not one of the top guys, but one of my favorite players in the draft, that's Elijah Moore, the wide receiver from University of Mississippi. Somebody who is unbelievably productive in the SEC. 86 catches, 1,193 yards, and two drops on the season. He's only 5'9", 178 pounds, ran in the mid-4.3s. Separation for days. I mean, he's somebody that I think is a refined route runner. And if you get him in the same offense with the Will Fullers and the Mike Gesickis and the Devontae Parkers, who can beat one-on-one matchups themselves, again, makes things a whole heck of a lot easier. So that's where I'm at as far as my list up to number 10. So just to recap for me here as well. At 18, I had Gregory Rousseau at defensive end. 17, Christian Barmore, defensive tackle from Alabama. 16, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame. 15, Javonte Williams from North Carolina. 14, Jalen Phillips from Miami. 13, Jamin Davis from Kentucky, the linebacker. 12, Najee Harris from Alabama. 11, Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State. 10, Elijah Moore from Mississippi. And now number 9 is going to be Rashawn Slater from Northwestern. Probably the cleanest prospect in the entire draft. Somebody who came out of college or high school as a guard prospect, a 3-star guard prospect. In 2018, his first year at Northwestern, started at right tackle, then kicked the left tackle in 2019, and did not allow a sack in college football. That can't be understated there. He's phenomenal as far as what he can do from a technical standpoint and in terms of versatility. So if you grab him at 18, I don't think he'll last there. I don't think he has a chance to last there. He's going to let go somewhere likely firmly between 6 and 18. But if something happened and he fell to 18, what a steal he would be there for the Dolphins.
Yeah, no, it's and here I am as part of my back-to-back picks at number 9 with Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern. You've said plenty about him. So I'll just skip ahead to my other pick that you've already talked about, which is Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah at 8. Look, Miami needs an off-ball linebacker. He's a better fit for them than Zaven Collins right now, and that's why I've got him ahead of him. I know you've already said kind of plenty about him, and that's the weird thing about us having these dueling drafts. Sometimes each of us are going to beat somebody to a player.
Yeah, that's hopefully, I don't think I'm going to steal the next guy from you, because let's take a look here.
Let me ask you this. Hold on. Is it a corner, a running back, or a quarterback?
They're both defensive backs.
Then you are not going to steal him from me, and I know who it is.
Gotcha. I didn't think so, and I'm sure this is where people probably in our chat are gonna have the most disagreement with me. They're going to say it's not a need. I completely disagree with that. I think in the NFL today, you need 7 or 8 defensive backs, especially in this type of defense. The Dolphins cannot wait 2 more years when Bobby McCain, Eric Rowe, Xavier Howard, and Byron Jones are approaching 30. This defense does not work without elite defensive backs, and they need to stockpile them like they're going out of style. At number 8, I have Trayvon Morig, the safety from TCU. And somebody that I think if you took him, you can either play him at free safety and kick Bobby McCain to nickelback, or you can have him as a big safety in your 3 safety look. I also think, too, watching him, he has the hips to be able to even go outside and play cornerback. He also has the speed to do it. He ran a 4.5 flat, but he also tripped a little bit when he came out. I think he could have done better than that. I think it's a legit 4.4, 4.45 type of player you got here. 33 bench press reps, too. What safety does that? I mean, crazy stuff. Number 7 is probably my single favorite player in the whole draft. Not number 1 overall on my Dolphins board, but this is South Carolina cornerback J.C. Horn, the son of former Saints wide receiver Joe Horn, in this defense, you want somebody with the confidence and the skill set to go one-on-one at the line of scrimmage for 70 snaps against the opposing receiver and win. J.C. Horn is somebody that projects as somebody that can do that. I see him also as somebody that if he fell to 18, which again, I don't think he will. I think he'll go again between 6 and 18 firmly. I would take him every day. And I would use Byron Jones a little bit more on the inside than he has been. But either way, get him on your team. 20 years old, 6 foot tall, 205 pounds, 41-inch vertical leap, 4.39 40, all the talent in the world. So, Paul, I'm glad I didn't steal your guys there. But, yeah, I'm all about stockpiling these defensive backs.
Yeah, and speaking of sub 4.4 40s, I went with another edge player here at number 7. And he's a guy that did not record a sack last season, but he has all the measurables that match up. And I really think a better scheme with a better team around him would help him out here. He blew away his pro day the other day, and that's Jason Owe out of Penn State. I think he would be somebody that could step into that Shaq Lawson role and just cause some terror on the side of the defense opposite Van Ginkle and opposite Ogba. We will see, I do think he could be a very big contributor. He's got the size. I mean, he's 6'5", 257, and he ran a 4.36. There is some way to work with that for a pass rusher in Flores' defense. And speaking of speed, Jaylen Waddle, the guy that you took in Miami's mock draft the other night. If you haven't checked it out yet, check out our What We Think Greer Would Do mock draft from the
Thank
other
you.
Night. Yep, had to bring that up. That's Brian Cat NFL on Twitter.
That's what I think they're going to do. I don't know. I'm going back and forth on that. Anyway, I cut you off there, Paul.
No, you're good. I went ahead and took Jaylen Waddle. I think the guys that we need to talk about least here are the Bama wide receivers, because I know folks have heard plenty about them at this point. But he's basically your Jakeem Grant replacement if you go with Waddle here. He's going to return your punts and kicks. He's going to be that guy that gets open over the top, and he's got a familiarity with Tua that does matter for something. But at the end of the day, he's the lowest ranked of my pass catchers for Miami's offense.
I'm with you there, and this is the first time we've actually have someone lined up in the same slot. I've got Jaylen Waddle also at number 6. Just stupid speed. I mean, there are some players that are fast, and there's some players that glide across the football field. That is Jaylen Waddle. But are you really going to trust yourself to draft somebody who caught 62 passes over the last 2 years? He brings an incredible skill set. Reminds me a lot of Santana Moss with how he can track the ball for somebody small and actually make plays in traffic still. So, yeah, I've got him there at 6. Number 5, the other Alabama receiver, Devontae Smith. He is pretty far low, or pretty far below my top 4 guys. It took a lot for him to get here for me. I still have a problem with the weight. You know, he said he's 170 pounds. I wish he would just get on a freaking scale already. If he's 170, then he might be actually a little bit less than that. But he is best at the two. He is unreal at the two things that to me lead to NFL success. And that is the bendiness in your routes, the ability to get in and out of cuts easily with route running, and separation. Just he's able to do those two things, and he's used to having Tua throw him the football. I mean, they have a lot of chemistry back there from Alabama. So I'm up to number 5, Paul. Who is your 5th and your 4th?
So my 5th is Mr. Devontae Smith, the Slim Reaper. I do really like Devontae Smith. He is probably going. Did he weigh in, Kat? I missed if he did or not.
I don't believe so.
I'm pretty sure he's allergic to scales, and it's not really something I care about. The guy can play, but he's no spoiler here. Based on if anybody's paying attention, he's the 3rd option for me as a receiving threat in this draft. if I wouldn't be unhappy with him, but again, it's there are receiving threats in this draft that I like a lot more. But again, he's going to be successful at the NFL level, and he'd be a good fit for this team. At number four, you will like me for this, Cat. I hated myself for doing it, but I couldn't mark him any lower, even though I don't think it's the biggest need, and I would not be happy with it in the top 10. And that's Penei Sewell. He has too much value and talent to not include on this list. I do think that I could find a way to make myself happy with it if the offensive line get dominant as a guy that loves front seven. But it would be heartbreaking given the fact that I think there's a couple other options that are going to be there on the board for Miami.
Got it. So now we've just got a few left. So I'm just going to say my number four here, and then we're going to start at the top with our top three. So I'm not going to steal any of your thunder, Paul, because I've been jumping ahead of you on so many of these players. Number four for me is Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State. I'm going to table that and let Paul talk about him when it's his chance to. So let's start with our top three guys and why. So, you know, I bet by process of elimination, there's not a lot of mystery here, but let's start at the top. Who's your first, your second, and your third for the Miami Dolphins for the 2021 NFL Draft?
My third for the Dolphins here is going to be, believe it or not, and I'm going back and forth in my head between two and three, it's going to be Micah Parsons. I think he is the biggest difference maker on defense in this draft. I think he would impact the game a little bit more for Miami than my number two would, because one of the things that I am a huge fan and proponent of is, yes, points do win games. How do you get points? You get points by having more opportunities. And I think Parsons is good for a significant upgrade in turnovers, a significant upgrade in defensive stops, and I think he helps flip field position, which is something that Brian Flores loves. And I'm almost talking myself back into two, but I'm going to commit to him at three here for now. I'm sure that'll change between now and the draft. At number two, Ja'Marr Chase from LSU. I don't expect him to be on the board, even though he should be when Miami picks at six. If Joe Burrow gets his way, which the Bengals would be idiots to give him, considering they can't keep him upright, is truly, there's no better jump ball receiver in the draft, but he kind of broke that mold a little bit, given the fact that he threw down, what was it, a 4.36 at his pro day, Cat? Was that?
It was somewhere between 4.36 and 4.38. Even if he didn't go below 4.4, because it's, you know, some of these timings might be a little bit off because they're at their home place. Who knows who's timing these guys? But yeah, he's somewhere around there. He's faster than what we thought.
Yeah,
time wise,
he flexed a lot of speed. So it's a tough one for me. It's Chase, Waddle, and Devontae Smith slide down drastically for me, even if they're still there. If Miami takes Kyle Pitts, only because you can only have so many pass catchers on the field at a time. And I do think that, well, my number one, Kyle Pitts, is the guy that makes everybody on this offense better. He's going to occupy linebackers and safeties and corners. He's going to force defenses to play out of position and do things that they don't want to do, especially going up against a Kyle Pitts and a Mike Gesicki in the same offense. The fact that you can run the same personnel for goal line at times as you do for five wide, with the way Miami is set up, is going to be disturbing for opposing defensive coordinators. And there is no bigger difference-making non-quarterback in this draft than Kyle Pitts. And that's something that we've been saying for a while now. I know I've been beating this drum, but it's, you know, and CK, who we've talked about before, CK Parrott, he did the best thing I've seen with Kyle Pitts today, and he labeled him tight end slash wide receiver Kyle Pitts. And the reason I say that's the best thing ever is a few people out there seem to have trouble getting their head around the idea of taking a tight end when we have one, and that our tight end room was okay. Well, guess what? Mike Gesicki and Kyle Pitts can both line up at wide receiver. They can both line up at tight end. And matter of fact, Kyle Pitts is a far better blocker than Mike Gesicki is. So you can do so many ridiculous things. And one of the points you brought up the other day, Kat, and I wanted to revisit it is, you know, you had said that Miami needs to change their playbook if they bring in Kyle Pitts. And I do think that it would behoove them to add a few plays. But the fact that they can take Pitts and Gesicki and flex them out into the slot or out wide and do some of those things, they can keep more of the plays than a lot of people think they could.
They absolutely could. And they wouldn't have to revamp everything. And if they did, it would be in an exciting way. The reason I have Pitts at three here on my list is because I see a little bit of overlap with what Gesicki and Kyle Pitts do. And I think it's easy to say here today, oh, they'll make it work, just get them on the field. But I really think we'll be sitting here in a year and Mike Gesicki's going to free agency. And we're like, okay, well, with the third pick, did we really just upgrade the tight end position? I know we're not, Pitts is more than that. I get it. And when you look at the measurables of Kyle Pitts, 6'6", 245 pounds, ran a 4.44, his measurables test out almost identically to a Calvin Johnson and to a Mike Evans at the wide receiver spot. And you look at the body type, the body control, the long arms, the hands, it certainly measures up. And the incredible thing with Pitts is he had a wingspan measured in at 83 3/8. To put that in perspective, the top four offensive tackles last year, the 2020 draft, Mekhi Becton, Jedrick Wills, Andrew Thomas, and Tristan Wirfs, had a wingspan shorter than Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts is going to be going up and catching passes from you there. So he comes in at number three for me, but a special, special talent. No doubt about it. I would be elated with him there at number six. Number two is going to be Ja'Marr Chase for me as well. I thought you would have Chase at three and I'd have him at two and we'd go back and forth on that. I'm glad that Chase showed up at his pro day and just wowed everybody because it reminds me of what made him so special at 19 years old at LSU. And two things that stand out to me the most are yards after catch. Actually, three things. Play strength, yards after catch, and the ability to track the ball vertically, which is such an underrated component of getting deep. And if you have Gesicki and Parker as the contested catch guy, Fuller as the deep speed, and Chase as your all-around guy, I think you have a more sustainable, long-lasting wide receiver unit there for Tua. Number one, and it looks like I'm going to die on this hill until the NFL draft, is going to be Penei Sewell. And I'll go back and say it time and time again. I think it is most important that the Dolphins keep Tua upright and allow him to step into passes. And I think Penei Sewell can take the offensive line from a right now a C+ B minus unit to an A unit in a year. His pro day is tomorrow. And if he needs to test out extremely well to show that he's the type of athlete that justifies a top three or a top five or a top 10 pick here in the NFL draft. But that's going to round out my list here, Paul. So I'm going to go back through mine and you can go back through yours too. So number one, Penei Sewell. Number two, wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. Number three, Kyle Pitts. Number four, Micah Parsons. Number five, Devontae Smith. Number six, Jalen Waddle. Seven, cornerback J.C. Horn. Eight, safety Trevon Moehrig. Nine, wide receiver Elijah Moore. 10, offensive tackle slash guard Rashawn Slater. 11, guard Tevin Jenkins. 12, Najee Harris, running back. 13, Jamin Davis, running back, or linebacker, Kentucky. 14, Jalen Phillips from Miami. 15, Javonte Williams, running back, North Carolina. 16, Owusu-Koramoah, Notre Dame. 17, Christian Barmore, defensive tackle, Alabama. 18, Gregory Rousseau, D-end, Miami.
Yeah, and I think somebody beat both of us here in the chat, and Patriot USA went Pitts at one, Pitts at two, and Pitts at three. I love it. I love that breakdown there. But now for me, I went with Kyle Pitts at number one, the crazy versatile wide receiver slash tight end. Jamar Chase, I went with at two. You can hear that my list changed periodically. Micah Parsons at three. Penei Sewell, I had at four, followed by Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. At seven, I had Jason Owe, the edge rusher out of Penn State. Jeremiah Owusu-Kamara, the linebacker from Notre Dame, followed by Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle out of Northwestern. Christian Darrisaw, the offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech at 10. At 11, I had Azeez Ojulari, followed by Zaven Collins at 12. Jalen Phillips at 13, the edge rusher from Miami. Rondale Moore and Rashad Bateman at 14 and 15. Elijah Vera Tucker, who can kick into guard and out to tackle, came in at 16 for me. Gregory Rousseau at number 17. And followed by one of my favorites, guy I've been telling you guys about since before last year's draft, Carlos Boogie Basham, rounds it out at 18 for me. I stayed away from the defensive back position. I stayed away from the quarterback position, as we talked about before. I didn't take the running backs for all the reasons I outlined, even though I do like Najee and would not be upset with him here. I don't have Trayvon Morig on my list. Kadarius Toney just missed my list, who's a guy I do like. I have no defensive tackles, especially after today's signing, and Richie Grant's a guy that would be a target for me in round two.
And that's going to do it for our dueling Miami Dolphins top 18 list here, as we are 4 weeks away from the NFL draft. We're going to be full-fledged positional breakdowns for the Dolphins here over the next 4 weeks. Be sure to join us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, all of our social media outlets, also finfanatic.com and the Fansided Network as well. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.